Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadha Yasoda nandana braja jana nandana Yamuna tira manajani Yamuna tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Gaura Premanandi Hare Hare Bol. My dear devotees, it is with great pleasure and a feeling of gratitude that I will share this class with you. I think it will be a thought-provoking class. I hope it will give you something valuable for your lives as practicing devotees. I must also here say that I'm very grateful that Dhammatma Prabhu always gives me the chance to address you on the first day after Kartik, and also Panchagoda Prabhu and all of the leaders of the temple are so kind to invite me. I really value this opportunity. Good, so because we have to cover a lot of ground, I will be a little brief. Om. will cover today a section of the Bhagavatam. I will give those who come have just arrived in Vrindavan or who are only here now and not in the preceding classes the context. This describes a revenge campaign. The great demon Narakasura had been slain by Krishna, and now his friend Dvivida, who is a King Kong size gorilla, is taking revenge. So in the first verse of this series of verses, it goes like this. Let us chant the Sanskrit, please.
One moment.
Kvachit sa shailam upadya. Tair dishan samachunaya. Anatam sutaram eva. Yatraste mitraha harihi. Yes, it describes the activities of the demon, so we will not chant it very long. Once Dvivida tore up a number of mountains. He was very strong. He could tore up mountains and used them to devastate all the neighboring kingdoms, especially the province of Anata, wherein dwelt his friend's killer. Who's that? Lord Hari, yes. Another time he entered the ocean and with the strength of 10,000 elephants churned up its water with his arms and thus submerged the coastal regions. Can you imagine? He must have somehow entered the ocean. Maybe he swam out and then dove, and then he used his arms like propellers and created a tidal wave to destroy the coastal regions. This wicked ape means like monkey, no? Tore down the trees in the hermitages of exalted sages and contaminated their sacrificial fires with his fecus, that means urine and stool, and the urine, yes. And here's an important verse. Maybe we have this in Sanskrit. I will base my lecture on this verse mainly, so let's chant. Purushan Yoshito Dripta. Shama Brid Droni Guha Susaha. Nikshipya Chabya Dach Chaila. Peshach Kari Vat Kita Kam. Please be specially attentive now. Just as a wasp, it's a Peshakari, just as a wasp imprisons smaller insects, he arrogantly threw both men and women into caves in a mountain valley and sealed the caves shut with boulders. Once, while Dvivida was thus engaged in harassing the neighboring kingdoms and polluting women of respectable families, he heard very sweet singing coming from Raivataka Mountains. So he went there. Just imagine, he was engaged in this terror activities, and then he heard very sweet singing. So naturally he was interested, what is going on there? And he went to this mountain from where it came. It's the Raivataka Mountain. It's a very tall mountain we hear. So there he saw Shri Balaram, the Lord of the Yadus, adorned with a garland of lotuses and appearing most attractive in every limb. He was singing amidst a crowd of young women, and since he had drunk Varuni liquor, his eyes rolled as if he were intoxicated. His body shone brilliantly as he behaved like an elephant in rut. An elephant in rut will soon approach a lady elephant, and the result will be very romantic activities. That is the right way to express it. So yeah, Lord Balaram had famously drunken Varuni liquor, and Rupa Goswami describes Lord Balaram's activities when he does this. He talks very intensely during that time, but then after some time he just goes to bed and rests. This is a good example when one is intoxicated with Varuni liquor. It's best to rest. So good. So let us read, and the next lecture will take up from here. So let us just go to text 7 again, please, those who handle the computer. Just as a wasp imprisons smaller insects, he arrogantly threw both men and women into caves in a mountain valley and sealed the caves shut with boulders. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Om Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. For a moment, let us just emphasize with these poor men and women who were robbed of, who were attacked by this Dvivida demon and then taken into faraway caves which were then sealed. They did not know what would be their future. But it looked very much like he would come back and kill them. We will hear at the end of the lecture about very aristocratic people who were taken away and put into a mountain prison and were waiting for their death. I once thought, just to understand the situation, because it will be very important for our what comes afterwards. I once talked with a godbrother who has left us, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who was imprisoned in Beirut, Lebanon, into a little cell, only this, you know, 1 meter times 1 meter. There was no place to rest, and there was light throughout the day and the night, because he was, you know, he was to say something that he had, that he was a foreign political agent, and then he would be executed. So he described to me that while he was standing in this prison, he heard constant bullet shots, bang, and screams, ah! These were the people who were executed, who were put on the wall and then shot. And he knew that he was, you know, it was planned that the same thing would happen to him. I asked, what did you do to not become, you know, to not have a nervous breakdown or become? And he said something very nice. All my freedom had been taken away from me, even my freedom to decently go to the bathroom. So in that situation, I remembered something from the Nectar of Devotion. The devotional service can also be performed within the mind. So I went and gave my festival programs in the mind. I played my midanga and danced. I distributed prasadam. I went to African villages, and I did all this in meditation. And finally, I was released and put on an airplane to England. But you can imagine, that's a tough situation. Now the Bhagavatam uses this situation to make a revolutionary spiritual point, which if you dare to take it serious, will for sure change your present state of Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam uses this as an example to make the point on that one must meditate. Gita pe shashkritam jnanam kudyam tena praveshita jati tat sadmatam rajan purvarupam asanyayam. It's from the 11th canto, those who like to read verses later, 9th chapter, verse 23. And here the image is given that there are these very strong wasps who go hunting and take insects and then put them in a hole which they seal. They take some earth and then use their saliva to make some substance like a glue and then shut the hole. Now the wasp, the insect is, this is now a metaphor, it is thinking constantly on the wasp. When will it come? When will it come? When will it, when will I be executed? And in the process, this is metaphorical, analogical talk, in the process it becomes a wasp. What happens biologically is also interesting, but I don't want to give a biology class. So here is the verse for you in English. O King Parikshit, once a wasp, do you understand this verse, wasp? They sting. Once a wasp forced a weaker insect to enter his hive and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly meditated upon his captor, and without giving up his body, he gradually achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. Yes. Thus, now listen to this last sentence, it's important. Thus one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration. Now we all who give Bhagavad Gita classes and who or sit in Bhagavad Gita classes have heard the principle of reincarnation, but this goes a step further. What we know so far is expressed in the 8th chapter, 6th verse. You have some of you have chanted it many times, so please join me. Yang yang va pismadang va vam, in one voice. Tvajadyante kalevaram tam tam nevaiti konteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. There's a story they tell in India about this principle, which we will take a step further, but first we need to understand the principle. Once there was a farmer who suddenly got a stroke, and his sons put him on a deathbed. This story happened in Gujarat, where people are generally business-oriented. They stood around the bed, encouraging their father to speak, but he had a stroke. And, yes, father, yes, say it. Say it, say it. Father, we can't hear you. We know you want to tell us where you kept the money for all of us, but we can't understand. So the poor man, he was a rich farmer, but poor, you know, now his death was coming. Finally, he could say something. You fools. Look there. And they looked over in the corner where there was a broom from you know, natural material, and a little calf was eating that broom, you know. You understand broom, natural material, some sticks that can be eaten if you have the digestion for this. So you fools, look at the calf. It destroys my broom. You will similarly squander everything. Ah! And he left the body. His last thought was that of his, money and his farm and his wealth there, which he had created. And it was not on things that you can't take with you when you leave your body. And naturally, I don't know where he was born, perhaps as a cat on his farm and so on, but it could be. His last thought determined his next existence. Sada tad bhava bhavita. So, my dear devotees, this verse which we have heard from the 11th canto takes this principle into our present life. What you think about, what occupies your mind, will describe your entire existence. Happiness is not out there. Krishna consciousness is not out there somewhere. You have, as the word says, to work on your consciousness. You have to check your thoughts, and even more, you have to learn to think of Krishna. You have to learn it, because the mind, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, will not automatically think of Krishna, not even when you are in a spiritual institution that bears the name International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You have to learn it. You have to train yourself in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. What does this mean? It can mean recollection. And in the initial states which we are talking about here in the courtyard, it means, as Jiva Goswami says, to make an effort to bring a thought of Krishna into your mind. It is done by force, by effort, with an endeavor. It doesn't come automatically. And from there, if you start here, you will enter into a world which will be so delicious to you, so delightful. But let us not talk about the states which come later. Let us talk about the entry gate to the world of Smaranam, or thinking or meditating about Krishna. You see, I have a mission today. The Upanishads say, jata yato pase tat eva bhavati. As one worships and meditates, so one becomes. The Chandogya Upanishad makes it very clear. He says, everything is the Lord. Everything comes from the Lord. Everything goes back to the Lord. And everything is maintained and sustained by the Lord. One should therefore quietly meditate on the Lord. Each person has a mind of his own. I'm aware I'm speaking to many minds today who will all process the information in their own way. What a person occupies himself in his present life, he becomes when he leaves this world. One should bear this in mind and do smaranam, remembrance and meditating accordingly. The school of life, in other words, is not in what dress you are. This dress is external. Not what occupation you have. It's external. What amount of wealth you make. It's external. How many followers you have chased down on your internet pages. It's external. You can't take external things with you. You are the eternal soul. You are born in with bliss. And you are meant to go, to not engage yourself with anything else than the Lord. So, but whatever your state of mind is, that will describe how you are in this life, and that will describe how you will be in another life. There was once a washerman in Himalayas who lost his most valuable possession, a donkey. He needed the donkey to carry the dirty wash, the dirty cloth of his customers down to the river and then back up. And this donkey died. I don't know how, maybe heart attack or stress-induced death, I don't know. So the washerman was so shocked. My best friend, which I'm dependent on him, died, so that he just stopped all work and sat down. Didn't talk at all. Somehow the villagers nearby heard about this man who was sitting out under a tree and just... He looked very focused, and they all talked about him. A sadhu has come, a saint has appeared in our village. Wonderful. So they waited for him to come out of his state. So after a month, they thought, now it should be enough. That's usually also what you do. When a sadhu does tapasya, you should be very eager to hear what he says afterwards, because he has certainly gained some treasures which are also important for you. So though they all were sitting around him and some cooked chapatis, it became soon a social gathering, waiting for the moment when he would open his eyes and speak. They thought he was enlightened by now. Finally, the day came. He came out of his meditation. Yes, yes, Sadhu Maharaj, yes, tell us. My donkey! He was meditating about this traumatic effect. Yes, we have compassion. Yes, it must have been very traumatic to lose the donkey. But the point is, he was not enlightened, although he looked like this when he sat down and did not speak. Because, yes, he looked like a saint, but his mind was occupied with ordinary activities. Therefore, my dear devotees, Narottam Das Thakur says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, which is a very important scripture, Gokishor Das Babaji said, love of God is cheap, you only need 4 anas, that's like 4 paisas, you know, not even a rupee. You go to the market and buy 2 books. Prarthana, this is the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, and Prem Bhakti Chandika. This is a book which puts the moonlight Chandika on your path, so that you may have lost your vision, but with this moonlight on your path, you can see the steps ahead. And there he says, Sarana Bhavibhaya Siddha Deya Pavataha. Prem Bhakti Chandika, verse 55. Whatever I think of during the practice of devotional service will certainly be achieved upon perfection in a spiritual body. Isn't that a fascinating idea? As you do your devotional service, one way would be to think, oh, when is this over? I have so many tasks to do today. Or why did he tell me to do this service? And for his friends, he kept the service in the Mahaprasadam room. Why? You know, so this is how you can do, or like the Swami in stress. I hope I get my plane. I hope they have prepared everything. I need a flip chart where to do my presentation and so on. It's very busy, occupied with thoughts. Or you can think and aspire and contemplate. These are all different words for the internal process of Krishna consciousness. That, oh yes, let me clean this temple for Krishna. Or when you are a famous Swami and you give a lecture, you can before pray to your spiritual master. You can pray to Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Guru Maharaj, please be present in my heart so that I represent your teachings properly to the devotees. And although the activities look almost the same, the one where you think about so many other things is one thing, but the one which you connect with Krishna, which you do for Krishna, that is has a different result. I wrote to Prabhupada on his disappearance day a prayer where I wanted to address this. And I said, Prabhupada, my style of life has become that I mask my activities and say they are all done in your service. This has become my way of life. Jai Prabhupada. Put an etiquette on what I do. But if I'm very honest with you, I choose those activities which I like. Yes, I like to travel, so I say I do this for Prabhupada. I like to talk and be in the center, so I say I do this for Prabhupada. And everyone believes me except you. And you is the one I care. Then there are other things in the poem. It's not the only thing about Sachidananda Swami. I hope you don't now all get up and leave. You know, anyways, no gentleman speaks about the good things. So he says, what I contemplate during the practice of my devotional service, that I will achieve even when I reach perfection and go into the spiritual world. It's only a consideration of immaturity and maturity. Like a mango. It's a green mango at one stage and it's a ripe mango at another stage. The ripe mango is tasty, the green is, unless you know how to make a pickle from it, but it's not so. No? So what the rule here is, my devotees, whatever you practice doing and thinking, that is what you become. We all know this. You are all weak Hare Krishna devotees. You don't do any yoga. It's Maya, I know. And when you are old, you are forced to do exercises. So in my age, I know when it comes, when I need strength to sit for a long time, I must train my body. But what I learned from my physical trainer, Ananda Murti, is that if you want to increase the benefit of the exercise, you must practice the mind-muscle principle. Example, when I need to get a stronger core, you know, this is like the belly and the back, you know, so that I can sit properly. When I do these exercises, I bring my mind to the muscle which I want to strengthen. And if I do this, whatever I think of, that is what I become. The muscle will get very quickly very strong. If I just do it mindlessly, it doesn't work so well. But, so this principle is known to aware people who think of physical exercise. But we have to transport these principles into our sadhana. You must think of, learn to think to do it for Krishna. Like Narottamdas Thakur says, I constantly serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and think of them with attachment. This he says in verse 56 of his Prem Bhakti Chandika. I may lose my audience here because you may think, you may say, Sachinandan Swami, you give a lecture like you have given 50 years ago. It is nothing new. You promised something new. My dear devotees, continue to listen. I'm just preparing the ground, philosophical ground for something wonderful. Jiva Goswami, when he introduces Smaranam in the Bhakti Sandavas, quotes a verse from the Garuda Purana, where he says, one must cry out loud for each moment this was not spent meditating or thinking on Sri Hari, just as one cries out after having been robbed of all one's possessions by a robber. When you are in situation where you have been robbed of your purse and on gunpoint. I have never been in this situation. I have been secretly robbed. You know, people have, these were small thievers. But I heard from the devotees in South Africa that one devotee once went into the car. And he did the mistake, he was new in South Africa, to stop at the red light. Both, I heard in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, and in Johannesburg, the most foolish thing you can do as a driver is to stop at the red light, because then robbers will come and take whatever you have. The devotee who told me this, I had saved so much Lakshmi. I wanted to finally be able to move to a decent apartment where I could do my spiritual practice. But then it happened in Rio de Janeiro. I was robbed of everything. I really lamented. Now I have two purses in my car. One I have hidden, which has all the big amount of Lakshmi inside. And then this other, which is very visible, I have like 20 euros in it, you know. And when the robber comes, I said, that's the only thing I have here on the back seat, take it. And he takes 20 euros while my 5,000 euros are carefully hidden. So when you are robbed of something very important, then you should lament. And my dear devotees, this is happening all the time to us. We are robbed of the most valuable things, that is our ability to direct our mind and make it Krishna consciousness. And in the name of so many excuses, we are an ordinary thought. Now, ordinary thought is very dangerous. It is said by Narottam Das Thakur, let me see if I can remember. Smaran manera pran. To think or remember, that's the life force of the mind. The body life force is clear, it's what you see now. Whoa. And dancing and singing and talking loud and soft as required. This is all steered by the life force. A dead person can't do this. Once I was in Allahabad, we were with the Nita Goa World Traveling Sankirtan Party, and I was very tired from so much. We stayed up late and did kirtan till 12 o'clock in the night with the villagers. It was a traveling kirtan program. I told the devotees, I must sleep. So I went under a tree and fell asleep, and after a long time, the shadow was gone. I was lying in the sun, totally sunburned, but that was not so disturbing. I saw vultures around me, and I will try to say the English word. It is a new English word for me. Hyenas, you know. And they were coming closer. They thought I was dead. Life force was gone. So the moment I saw them, I screamed. I rolled over to take a stone and just threw it at them. I'm not dead. My life, come back later. not now, too soon. Narottam Das Thakur says, the life force, not of the body, you've heard of the body, of the mind, is smaran, memory, remembering, thinking, meditating, all this. If you don't do it, some very dangerous vultures will come, and I have seen a few of you who were eaten alive by vultures this morning, and I was, I will not identify their names, and it would be highly offensive of me to do this. I'm already moving at the border when I have seen what happens when someone is in Krishna consciousness, but he is not thinking of Krishna. He is attacked by the vultures and, please help, hyenas, of anger, of lust, or more commonly, of dejection, or of fault finding, of a very critical attitude towards people, circumstances, of life and practically everything. He's not blissful. He's not happy. He is only physically in Vrindavan, while he may think of his favorite food shop in New York. By the way, that's normal when you had diary. No. So I was saying, or we were hearing, one must train, one must go in the school of Smaran. Why? Mahaprabhu, why doesn't it come automatically? Mahaprabhu says, Malina mana hoile nohe Krishna rasmaran. When the mind is impure and contaminated, one cannot remember Krishna. An impure mind will remember impure things. And the mind, even of a devotee, very quickly can become impure. I will give one example which will make some of you blush. Thinking of lusty activities. There's a famous story, it's told all over Vrindavan. I don't know the source of it, but it will make sense when you hear it. It's about a lecturer who gives a lecture at the bank of the Yamuna, and suddenly a gust of wind comes. Is that the right word? Gust? And the sari of one of his listeners is moved by the wind so that part of her body is exposed. And he sees that for a moment, and his eyes get nailed for a moment on this view, and in the midst of the lecture, he is diverted by a very impure thought. So he knows, he is a Bhagavatam lecturer. My mind is impure, therefore I can't think of Krishna. But when this little incident happened, I was thinking of things which I really want to give up. And he thought, why has the mind become impure? And when he checked everything, it was because he had eaten the food of a prostitute who wanted to get rid of her contamination in life by by giving out food to saintly persons, because she hoped the benefit would come to her. And now this is very subtle, I know, and I will not talk about possible implications for ISKCON here, because we are an international preaching movement. We can't check who cooked this food and what did he think of when he cooked the food. I wanted to only give an example of how easy the mind can become contaminated and then think contaminated thoughts. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur recognized this. It's a recognized problem. And there is one verse, I believe it comes from the Padma Purana, but it has made it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-253, where this problem of an impure mind going to impure thoughts is recognized. The first line of the verse is known to some of you. Yuvatinam yata yuni. This is how I've written it down. Oh my Lord, a sadaka prays, who recognizes the problem of an impure mind which he has. May my mind always find pleasure in you. Listen to the example. Just as the mind of a young girl finds pleasure in the thoughts of a young boy, And the mind of a young boy finds pleasure in the thoughts of a young girl. I am in preaching in to a wonderful group called the Pandava Senas in London, and you should see, they are all young, and boys and girls are there. And when they come for a spiritual council, they say, "Oh Maharaj, all I think about in this retreat is this one young girl. What do you think I should do? Should I give her a flower to start our relationship, or some kind words?" And I say, "Well, I want to read you a verse. May my mind always find pleasure in you, my Lord. Just as the mind of a young girl or young boy finds pleasure in the opposite gender." No, this is why we are here for this retreat. And about the other things, you better talk about the married, to the married people. They went through this process. They can give you tips. Yes, each one of us who sits here tomorrow knows how material attachments hold us hostage. It means, in simple English, imprison us. And we always are, I hope I could get this out of my mind. What did he say yesterday to me? It hurts so much. And I'm here in Vrindavan, I don't want to think about these material things. No? Each one of us knows how our material attachments, in this case for our good name, can hold us hostage. Theoretically we understand, we have heard many lectures on the ill effects of material attachments, and we know we should be attached to Krishna. But the reality of our hearts is different, and you can't so easily command your heart what it should be attached to. Huh? Do you agree? Yes. So what can we do? First of all, the word sin, aga, in Sanskrit, I read in a good book by a good Swami, it means an indelible imprint. Now, I think many of you are like me, not super familiar with the English language. Indelible imprint. It means an impression, my dear devotees, which you cannot erase, you cannot take it out. This is what aga does so easily. That's why from our previous life and from all the movies which you see secretly, you have impressions in your mind, and your thoughts, my dear everyone, will go in these impressions as much as a river will go in a pre-dug riverbed. Pre-dug is maybe not an English word. Rivers flow according to these riverbeds, they are called, the impressions in the earth. And in the same way, your thoughts will go according to this indelible imprint. You call this in a more familiar way as sankskaras. No? Therefore, in the 12th chapter, in a purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, "Oh my Lord, my mind always goes in the ordinary thoughts. It comes back to there. Therefore, only with your help, I must create new impressions." This is done by spiritual activities. I know, for instance, some devotees, imagine what they did. This was really cool. Trying to address you, how you speak. It was so... They read in Prabhupada's books, I don't know the amount of hours, 8 hours perhaps, Vaisheshika Prabhu, do you remember the hours? Or do you don't go by the hours, you go by... 5 hours a day. They wanted to create really a closeness to Prabhupada. Mm. Some devotees during the month of Kartik got up extra early and chanted all day the Hare Krishna mantra. Wow! Why? They wanted to create new impressions and create a new mind. Some other devotees served Vaishnavas, and others, the unsung heroes here, they completed the Braj Mandal Parikram by going day in and day out to the land of through the land of Vrindavan, visiting temples and praying to the deities. They wanted, I don't know, some wanted perhaps to be heroes of the dust, but others who consciously do this, they knew, I need to become more attached to Krishna. Let me start with Krishna's land, Vrindavan. The next, but before that, my dear devotees, you must become aware that something must be done to create a new mind. There is a beautiful verse. Kamadinam kati nakatita palita dunideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapanu pashanti. There must be a different meter. Oh my Lord, the devotee says, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of my material desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, I've been so a slave to my desires, they have not shown any mercy of me. They say, more, 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 more. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. See, the devotee says, I thought, well, my neighbor also has material desires. Let me just continue the way I am. I'm also not learning to direct my mind on Krishna. Then the verse changes the subject. O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened. And now I'm giving these up, these masters, this desire. Do this, do this. Due to transcendental intelligence, no, it's awakened now. I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. No, I say, no, I have done this long enough. It's no longer good for. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. So this is how you start in your school of Smaranam. You have to become aware of the principle. What I think now is what I become later. And more, what I practice now to think of, that is what I become later. Mm-hmm. One very good way to change the course of the mind is to hear about Krishna's extraordinary pastimes. To hear it very regularly and to get to know Krishna and his devotees. There is a verse in Gopal Champu, I can only remember, I will try to remember it. It says, I tried many things to change my heart, but nothing has worked so far. Not even Nanda Baba, hearing about the father of Krishna, has changed my heart. Not even hearing about Yashoda has changed my heart. But since I hear how you love your own devotees and how they love you back, my stone-like heart has become soft. Have you noticed when someone loves you that something happens in your heart? I mean, when they really love you and really do something without any motivation, very difficult nowadays to find this, just to please you. Have you ever seen that in your life? Perhaps it's almost unknown nowadays. When someone just goes out of their way, when they think of you with affection, when they accept you just the way that you are and they don't want to make you into a different person, when they give you something, then you think, something happens in your heart. Oh. And you feel all of a sudden something that was buried so deep that you even forgot that it is there. So in the same way, when you hear how Krishna loves his dear devotees and how they love him and do everything for him. Like I told yesterday, you know, I was a little carried away. I didn't tell the whole story of how Sridham asked Krishna, "Will you leave us?" This was 4 days before Krishna left Vrindavan. And he had heard of an earlier conversation where Krishna had stopped the gopis and taken butter and yogurt from them, and the gopis had said, "Is this how you show your strength to attack weak ladies and then threaten them? If you really have some strength, go to Mathura and wrestle with the wrestlers of Kamsa." Krishna had become very serious. He knew he would soon go, and he said, "My dear gopis, I will soon have to go to Mathura and I will dethrone Kamsa and I will wrestle before, but then I will never return." Said the gopis, "Stop talking such foolish, cruel words. You take all the yogurt, every milligram of yogurt we make, it's for you only. You take, but you don't have to say these cruel words." So Sridham had heard about this and he said, "Will you leave us?" Krishna had answered. He had touched a rock which was nearby, like this, and he had said, "I swear on the fact that I'm Nanda Baba's son and that I'm herding his 900,000 cows. I swear on this," and he touched the rock like this. Now serious words were coming. I will never ever leave Vrindavan, and I will never ever leave my devotees who have given everything to me. And I will also not leave those who sincerely search for me. I swear this on the name of being Nanda Baba's son. So when you hear the Lord loves the devotees love him, this is good, it melts the heart. Another way to melt the heart that you can think of Krishna is to do wild rhythmical kirtans where you show your expertise on the mridanga and the cartals and how nice you can sing to impress everyone in the crowd. No, that's not how you do kirtan. You do Harinam with the idea to praise the Lord, to glorify him, and you make Krishna conscious, not me conscious kirtan, and that is very powerful. My time is running out and I don't want to leave you on a theoretical matter. I want to ask you now to direct your thought on Krishna in a practice. Are you willing to join me? Because this is not a theoretical, this must be practical. Like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you must leave the riverbed of, here comes a difficult word, concentrate. You must leave the riverbed of habitual thoughts and direct your mind on Krishna. Do you know what is the Parivasita, I think that's the Sanskrit word, verse in the Bhagavad Gita that is repeated twice? There are two verses actually. But the verse which speaks about what a devotee does. Do you know this verse? Say it, please. Majaji mang namasku. Yes, these two lines are repeated twice, and then it's a little bit different. All that think of me, become my devotee. That means serve me in various ways. Offer your obeisances to me and worship me. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says what we should do in order to practice the first limb, man, mana, bhava, you know, think of Krishna. And I feel this is possibly, for some of us, could be an entry gate into the third process of Krishna consciousness, which addresses the mind, smaranam, no, it's a smaranam, which is the life force of your inner life, you know, which will make you into a blissful devotee with very happy thoughts, and which will guarantee your perhaps even going back home, back to Godhead. It's very, very important. So this is what he says. You should What he talks is a directive for the mind to leave the riverbed of habitual thoughts. I can imagine now you will start thinking, when is he stopping? He's already over time. Who thinks this arrogant Swami is? Well, who does he think? He takes my breakfast time away. I'm almost finished. Only this. He says, you should offer your mind to me, Syama Sunda, who have a moon-like face, adorned with exquisite arched eyebrows and soft curly hair. Oops. there's no machine. I'm showering upon you a sweet, merciful glance from my most beautiful moon-like face. So, who remembers anything? Direct the mind on Syam Sundar. I'm sorry that this is creating distraction. I leave it. As he has a face with arched eyebrows, it means they're going like this. soft curly hair is there. And he looks at us, and we look at him. He showers a merciful glance on us. So we will now do this. We need some music here. I will request you to sit tall. The Lord describes in his verse, which is opening the content of the Gita for us, is his message to us. He says, give your mind as a gift to me. And here, the first day after Kartik, we will do this now. I request you to, for a moment, remember the moon. Moon. Yesterday was full moon. How it is there, so effulgent in the night sky. I, Krishna, have a face effulgent like the moon. You might now try to remember the face of Syam Sundar on his altar, no? With shining locks of hair. Yes, hair, you have seen hair. And there is a shine on them. And beautiful arched eyebrows. I'm looking at you. Glance at you, full of sweet mercy. I care for you. Yes, for you. Please accept my glance of sweet mercy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, I thank you very much. Summary, our mind is the source of happiness and distress, and in our mind, in whatever we are, happiness or distress, if we can think of Krishna and be Krishna conscious throughout the day, that is our gain, that is our achievement, that is our progress. Now this is not easy because the mind is has many indelible impressions and sanskaras which drive us throughout the day, and therefore we must direct our mind at the beginnings to thoughts of Krishna. It does not mean to only think of Krishna like we have done in this meditation. It could mean that while you read, after you've read, you stop and ask, what did I read? And then recollect. Recollect is such a nice word, collect, you know, the things, but you recollect it and bring it in your to your conscious awareness. That is very, very nice way. It's a Shastra meditation, you know, or verse meditation. You follow it, a verse in your mind, and then just go along with the verse. And in this way, you will create a new mind and a new life. Get your insight all right, and it is guaranteed your outside will follow. Get what is inside of you all right, your antakarna and your inner subtle in your body, and the rest will follow automatically. I thank you very much for listening to this class. Hopefully it was useful for you. Often devotees ask me where for sources you can find this beautiful meditation on Lord Krishna, which is so brief, but you know, with that exchange of glance, you look at him and he looks at you. Ooh. It is in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 65. 1865 in the purport called Sharada Darshini by Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. You can Google this Sharada Darshini and you will find it in his purport to how he explains it. My dear devotees, I'm scandalously over time and I will not be able to take your questions now because the services have to be going on. Some of you have to catch taxis and life goes on. But please, if you forget everything, then I will speak to you in London Harbour English. Get your inside right, the outside will follow. Hare Krishna. Sometimes these this vocabulary is shaking us up. Good. I thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Hare Krishna.